Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have a very big interview. Marky Mark, Mark Wahlberg, talking about his new movie, talking about his sports fandom, talking about Entourage, talking about him not thinking we were actually real because he's been doing press for his new movie and he saw the two of us and was like, these guys can't be fucking serious. But I think we're best friends with him now. Mm-hmm. He won't remember us, but we are best friends. We also have NFL trade deadline, hot seat, cool throne, LeBron blames, and guys on chicks. Before we get to all of that, whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
All right, let's go. Bye! It's Pardon My Take, presented by Ball School Sports. Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by SeatGeek. Today is Wednesday, October 31st, Halloween.
Spooky show.
PFT, I have something I have to get off my chest.
What, all the jizz I shot on it earlier?
Okay.
That Artie Lang shout out.
That was way too aggressive to start the show. Hey, PFT also said, we're going to be nice to each other this
week.
Are. And he's been mean to me and Hank for a month.
The show is called Pardon My Take, not Fuck You, Here's My Take.
Okay.
So we're going to be nice to each other.
But except for you. Okay, so my take is I officially feel bad for Jason Witten.
Wow.
That's a great take.
Okay.
I officially feel bad for Jason Witten. He is so clearly over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the pendulum swings. We see this all the time with sports where you go from like, this guy sucks to this guy really sucks to, oh my God, I want this guy off my TV to shit. Everyone agrees, and now I just feel bad because it feels like he's not going to have a job at the end of the year, and this is painful.
Yeah, there has been some piling on of Jason Witten, of which we have been a small part of,
yes,
and a small instigator.
So I'm saying we got to stop.
But it's so fun to do.
Yeah, I know.
Well, here's why
he's he's not ready to cope with this kind of, like, he's just not good, and he's just not getting better, and it's one of those situations, like, at some point, you just can't pile on a guy like that anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm done.
I think you have to have a spleen to be a good announcer. I think that's what this has taught us.
It sucks.
He's got the there's a missing ingredient there. I think it's also like a contrast with Booger, because I think Booger's gotten better,
yes,
as the year's gone by.
He had that one line, the biscuit. One biscuit away from,
yeah,
a tight end.
They fixed the snot rocket. They took off the TV on the back. They put in the sneeze guard for the Booger Mobile.
They heard
plexiglass.
Our complaints.
They did.
I'm one biscuit away from a I'm probably one biscuit away from being out of the league.
Yeah, I'm one biscuit away from having to go use the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's what I am at all times.
So,
but yeah, listen, Jason Witten, he's not great, but we have a duty as media watchdogs to call it out when we see it.
No, I'm done. It's you're picking on a guy now because he doesn't have the requisite skills to make it.
Well, it's not, I don't think it's totally his fault.
No.
So
the whole thing is awkward.
Yeah. What they should have done, like Jason Witten in an ideal world would have, you know, retired from the league and then joined one of the like C or B teams.
Yes.
For like Fox or CBS.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, do the 4:15 Cardinals Niners game every week. Nobody's watching it except when they cut in on the red zone to show like a 10-yard completion.
Yep.
And then have Jason Witten just be like, oh, he ran a little flat route to the, you gotta get to the sticks on third down.
Yes.
Like warm up with the easy stuff like that. Instead of doing it on prime time for everybody to see you fail.
But I'm done.
You're done making fun of Jason
Witten?
I'm
done. I'm leaving him alone. I'm doing the be nice to you, be nice to Jason Witten. It's just time. We have to. He's not going to be around for much longer. Like, there's.
Do we really need to savor the time left we have
no,
with Jason
No, I'm not
Witten?
Saying savor. I'm just saying don't pile on. Like, you don't want a guy to lose his job.
Well, tell you what. I
got a job to do. He's got a job to do.
You know what? You've talked me into it a little
bit.
Yeah. I have had an idea that I've been too lazy to put into action, but now I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to build a Jason Witten robot out of cardboard boxes.
Yes.
We can bring him into the studio, and we can interview him and make him likable.
Okay.
And we'll work with Jason a little bit on this, but I'm still going to make fun of him when him and Booger butt heads.
It's just like you see it on Twitter during a game where everyone just taking shots at him, and at some point it's like, we got to stop. We got it. Let's focus that energy on bringing Joe Buck back down.
I like how Jason Witten has gone from being like such an easy target to a sympathetic figure just because he's bad at his
job. Oh yes, absolutely. I am a big time like bleeding heart. Like when someone's really bad at their job and they're on a national stage, I feel bad for you.
Well, you're still mean to me.
Well, because you're mean to me and Hank.
Okay.
Constantly.
All right.
What's you constantly take shots. Okay, so let's talk NFL trade deadline. Huge trade deadline.
Let's go.
The craziest trade deadline you've ever seen.
It was wild
Credit
stuff.
Adam Schefter
it was
for
wild
that.
Stuff out there. I saw some people starting to use NBA language, like max deal.
Oh.
That's what I love. Like, there's no such thing as a max deal in football. They call it a max deal in basketball for a reason.
Yep.
But sometimes you got to adapt what works for other leagues. And so, yeah, I saw the term max deal being thrown around a lot. Saw a lot of blockbuster trades.
Yeah, so they let's need fire
to,
through them.
Okay, yeah. They need to get a trade simulator, a trade machine on ESPN.
I agree.
That's a big miss on their part.
Okay, so we'll go reverse order here in when they happened. The Texans traded for Demaryius Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Bad news for my pinky.
Very bad news for your pinky.
Bad news for my pinky.
I had you on my hot seat, but we can just talk about it right now.
Same.
So Fuller, I guess, is out. Is he out for the year officially?
Yes, he is out for the year.
But they got Demaryius Thomas. People forget. He beat the Steelers in the playoffs.
With Tim Tebow.
With Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
So now he's got...
Slant heard around the world.
It was a dig, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly.
Okay, embrace debate. But yeah, I think this actually makes the Texans a viable playoff contender.
Well, okay. So...
3 years ago.
I
want to caveat it by saying everything that I know about Demaryius Thomas, I stopped learning new things about him after the Super Bowl. When they won.
So the Texans, they're going to be good. They are good. They've won a bunch in a row. We got to throw like a playoff party for them, a pinky party for whenever they're in the playoffs and just be like, hey, this could be the last you see of my pinky.
Yeah, we'll get Letterman jackets.
Yeah, second, can a doctor just amputate my pinky?
No.
Can you walk into a doctor's office and be like, take my pinky off?
If you have a signed note from another doctor saying that you have gangrene in it.
Okay. So that's what I could do. Well, I got to poke a hole in my pinky and then maybe like rub it on the bottom of a New York subway train.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. So there's the Hippocratic Oath that doctors take, which is first do no harm. So I don't think that a doctor can like actually harm you without a reason. He has to think that he's saving you from something. If you make the case to the doctor that your pinky has gotten you into a lot of trouble.
Or which it has.
Or it's just like, just say that you have excruciating pain
in
the tip of it.
Doctor, listen, I'm a degenerate gambler. I've been talking about losing a pinky for a very long time now. Mm-hmm. If I have this pinky, I will keep getting into bets that I cannot handle.
Yeah, tell him.
Take it off.
Tell him that if you don't cut the tip of my pinky off, next year you're going to bet the whole thing.
Yeah. And next year will be my dick.
Yeah, so you got to take care. You got to nip this in the bud.
Yes. So that was Demaryius Thomas. I am officially not nervous.
Okay.
Like that? Yeah. I just gave you a little hezzy there.
Mm-hmm.
People are keep tweeting me like, come on, bro. It's still Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
It's still Bill O'Brien in a big time spot. I'm not worried.
You know what they could do? They could send the tip of your pinky to Bill O'Brien and use it to fill in that hole on his chin.
There you go. Yeah. Just a little putty for his chin. We have the Eagles trade for Golden Tate. That's actually a big trade. Both the Lions kind of
giving up. Like,
yeah,
Golden Tate is one of those guys that he's never been. You never like Golden Tate, top five wide receiver, but he is Mr. Dependable.
You know,
and
what,
he's Mr. I'll make a big play at a huge time and like kill your team.
You know what I like about him? He's got a little Julian Edelman in him.
Yeah,
he got
the wiggle.
He plays well. It's not just that. It's he plays angry.
Yeah,
all the time. When he catches the ball, he's pissed off.
Yes, absolutely. So that's a big trade.
It is a big trade, but the Eagles, I think, I don't know. I don't see it. Super Bowl hangover.
I think the Eagles are still very dangerous out, and the Lions, I'm happy because it seems like the Lions, like Golden Tate, going up against Golden Tate, the Bears going up against Golden Tate year in, year out, he always scared me because mm-hmm. he was always that guy who, he's going to catch, you know, a little out, a 5 yard out and take it 80 yards mm-hmm. by dancing around everyone.
Now, what was the story? Was he involved in he was a bad teammate in Seattle, right? He had that reputation.
He might have.
There was an issue with him and Percy Harvin?
Sex. Allegedly something.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
We all know.
Well, no, Percy Harvin was a bad teammate to everyone.
Well, that's also true.
Yeah.
He had the migraines.
So my
situation.
Actually,
well,
probably would take,
he had medical reasons.
Yeah, I'd take migraines. Golden Tate on that. Okay, so next up we have Aaron Rodgers trading Ty Montgomery to the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
So Aaron Rodgers doing what he does with family members he doesn't like, just mm-hmm. sending them
just
off.
Just sending them across the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he fit. Ty Montgomery is, we don't know if he's going to play running back or receiver, but he does fit into that Ravens like traditional receiver mold of having pass catchers who aren't very good at playing wide receiver.
Maybe what they are going to do with Ty Montgomery is run Wildcat, and everyone thinks that it's Joe Flacco back there running it.
What they'll do is they'll just split Flacco and Lamar Jackson at the same time out at wide receiver.
With Ty Montgomery.
Direct snap to Ty Montgomery.
Don't hate it.
Problem solved.
Don't hate it. Next up, we had Rams trade for Jaguars defensive lineman Dante Fowler Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you do this. I do this with all sports. It's why I love Kevin White. If you trade a guy who is a first-round pick within the last 5 years,
yep.
I just assume he's still an unbelievable player.
Yeah.
Even though he has not been an unbelievable player. And I also do the thing where I do the math in my head and I say, okay, Sue was, I think, the third pick or second pick. Fowler was the third pick. Aaron Donald was the 13th pick. That's three first-rounders on the defensive line.
Yeah, they're almost as good as Clemson's defensive line right
Holy
now.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and they've got, I guess, what, three or four players that have, like, big personalities, guys that have gotten a little bit in trouble. I think Dante Fowler, like, didn't he wreck his car?
Something.
Or, like, drive his car into a lake?
Uh-huh.
Well, there are no lakes in L.A., so that's good. There's a drought out there.
Yes.
So that's good for them. But Fowler is the kind of guy that, when I see his name, I'm like, he's just crazy enough to be a good defensive lineman.
Yes.
And so is Ndamukong Suh.
Yes.
And so is Aaron Donald.
Yes.
He trains with knives.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I think the Rams just got better.
Yeah, they did. And, I mean, anyone could play edge rusher for them. And so, like I said, do the first round pick thing. He's a superstar in my mind.
Yeah,
I trust where mm-hmm. the picks were made. Like Corey Coleman, who got cut by the Browns, and then who isn't even in the league anymore. I mean, he was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
How is he not still good?
Yeah, I don't know.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't. It doesn't at all.
It makes no sense.
So when guys like that go out to L.A., I think – so when Wade Phillips took the job out there, I was like, how is he going to manage Marcus Peters? Or when they got all these guys, I was like, how are they going to manage Marcus Peters and all these like guys that have, you know, these reputations on that defense? But I think with him, I've kind of figured it out. It's like – it's like the cool substitute teacher
mm-hmm.
that was just like so relaxed and cool that like even the troublemakers didn't want to take advantage of him.
Yes.
Because they would feel bad if they took advantage. And that's kind of the role that he is out there.
With the bitmojis and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, his Twitter game.
Especially, yeah. So when you get guys like that out there that normally might cause a stink in other locker rooms, they're like, hey man, just be cool. Like,
yeah.
Come on, it's
chill
Wade.
Out.
Yeah,
right.
Let's not disappoint Wade.
Right. He's a funny guy. He's son of a bum.
Yeah, he's like Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. Don't do that to him.
Oh, bother.
We have the last one. The Redskins trade for HaHa Clinton Dix from the Packers. Now, this was clearly a HaHa Clinton Dix is going to get paid next year, and the Packers aren't going to pay him,
mm-hmm.
so get anything for him. And they actually have a decent secondary this year.
His expiring contract.
Yeah, but this also means everyone gets to make a ton of HaHa Clinton Dix jokes.
That's what I'm very excited about.
Yeah. So you want to rattle off
a couple
first?
Let's just shoot out all of our Clinton Dix
jokes. So we have the classic.
Just whip them out. You want to whip out our Clinton Dix?
Clinton Dix is back in Washington.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I actually do think that there were a ton of customized jerseys that had already existed in D.C. that say Clinton Dix on the back of them.
Correct. So, with a stain on them.
Yeah.
On the front.
A little white stain. Never wash those.
Yeah.
Clinton, here's one. Clinton Dix loves playing in the box.
Oh, I like that one.
In D.C.
All right. Okay, I got one. Okay. I haven't laughed this hard at a Packers dick since Brett Favre texted Jen Sterger.
That's a pretty good
on
one.
On the way out, because he's not on the Packers anymore. So you got to get the shot on the way out.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, get him in while you can.
Mm-hmm.
Clinton Dix never wraps up.
Oh,
likes to fly in with the shoulder.
Nice.
hey, Clinton Dix, what is that? The type of cigar that Dan Snyder lights up with a $100 bill?
Ooh, and then puts in a vagina?
Yeah, cause, well, that's what I was saying. Like, Clinton Dix would be a great name for a cigar.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before, but
have we?
Hank doesn't know what the Ken Starr report.
Yeah.
It was hot.
It was
really I actually watched the, there's a 90s Netflix documentary that I watched recently.
You did?
Yeah.
So you just relived our youth.
Yeah. Crazy stuff.
What was it like? What was the coolest part of the 90s for you?
Did you, spoiler alert, Kurt Cobain died?
Did you get into ska music for 15 seconds?
No, I just like...
What was your biggest takeaway? Frosted Tips were a wild time.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest takeaway was that if this happened in today's day and age, no one would even care.
About Clinton?
Clinton.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean,
I think people would probably care a little bit.
I don't know. We've gotten to a point where it's the surreal life.
Yeah.
Another 90s throwback.
I mean, if you're getting blowjobs while you're on the phone with a senator, I think that's at least worth 6 hours in the news cycle today.
Yeah. But that's just called doing good work.
Hank, did they have anything in the documentary about wearing puka shell necklaces?
No.
What else? What other takeaways? I'm happy you watched this.
From the 90s?
Yeah. Anything else you were like, holy shit.
The LA riots looked kind of crazy.
Yeah, those were.
Mm-hmm.
CDs? Any CDs? Do you?
The music industry's fucked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mini discs were, that was going to change the world.
That and you remember laser discs?
Yes.
So Hank,
the internet ruined music.
Yeah, Napster.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Napster and LimeWire was some serious shit back in the day.
Hank, when you were in elementary school, they didn't have any laser discs, right?
No.
I kind of want to explain this to you. So for a long time, VHS tapes had a good run, real solid run for like 25 years. And then everyone's like, what's going to take those out and move us into digital? Well, there was a step in between VHS and DVD, and that step was a Laserdisc. And it was a DVD that was like bigger than a record.
Giant.
It was like the size. It was like 22 inches. You could have put those on the side of a Benz, rolled down the street, and looked fly as hell.
Yeah,
they're 22 inches, and you had exactly one movie on it.
Yeah, and then they made it the opposite way with the mini discs, which was just a different way to listen to music that didn't really work.
The problem with that was everybody lost mini discs.
Yes. Yeah. They sucked.
Yeah, they were awful.
They really sucked. Okay, so that's the trade deadline recap.
The biggest news is what didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like jazz music with the notes that they didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Le'Veon Bell did not sign his tender, didn't show up, so he couldn't be traded.
Ooh.
So he's a Steeler for at least the rest of the year.
Stiller.
Here
he's
go.
He's a Stiller.
Going to the Super Bowl.
Anything else big that didn't happen? I mean, I don't know. Eli Manning. Well, Eli
Patriots,
Manning
Patriots
framed...
were rumored to do something big. They didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, stay woke on this. I don't know who tweeted out. If I follow you on Twitter and I'm not giving you credit, I apologize because I don't know who it was.
Oh, so this is just you doing the Who Did This Fam?
Who Did This Fam? Yeah. Skull emoji. Last night, the Patriots said, or there was a report out that the Patriots were going to suspend Josh Gordon for one quarter against the Bills, the old Johnny Manziel suspension.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Bowden suspension.
Yeah, yeah. Either way you want to look at it. And then he ended up playing the first snap of the game. Somebody was saying that Bill Belichick smells a rat inside his own nest.
Yeah.
And he leaked that information to one person. And he was like, if this makes its way to Ian Rappaport's Twitter account, then I know that it's you. And it breaks my heart. But mm-hmm. I know it was you.
Yes.
Kiss of death.
It's the scene from Departed when mm-hmm. he's just drawing the rats.
So stay woke on that.
Yeah. I like that.
There you go.
You're a fucking rat, whoever you are. Okay, let's do Hot
Seat
Cool Throne. Great movie.
Departed?
Love to talk to someone about it.
Coming up. Yeah. Okay, so Hot Seat Cool Throne. Hank, get us going.
My hot seat is Urban Meyer.
Oh, are you buying my theory?
Why?
The tip that I got, that I think I said it last week, that Urban the dominoes have started to fall. Hugh Jackson gets fired.
Yes.
Urban Meyer goes to coach the Browns. Urban Meyer goes to coach the Packers. Mike McCarthy gets fired, coaches the Browns because of the John Dorsey.
Yeah.
And then Bob Stoops comes and coaches Ohio State.
I'm just more of the theory that just things come in threes. Ty Lue, Hugh Jackson.
Oh.
Urban Meyer, Nebraska. Nebraska's been really bad this week. They're fixing for a big upset. And if Urban Meyer, if they lost this game, Urban Meyer's out.
Yes. I think Ohio State's wearing like LeBron black jerseys.
That's even worse of an omen.
His alma mater.
Yeah. God, LeBron, like, dude, we know you would have gone to Duke or fucking Kentucky or somewhere that would have paid you. Like, get out of here with this Ohio State shit.
I like it.
It's bullshit.
I like it.
I think they're going to lose. I think he's out.
Hank,
there's no way.
Hank, I'm right. No, I'm with you.
Okay. You want to bet your other pinky?
This is Scott Frost season.
No, I'm not betting another pinky.
Pussy.
Let's see how this Texans bet goes.
Wow.
And then I will bet my
other pinky.
You're
afraid Frost is going to take your pinky.
Yeah.
And then my cool throne
is a bad trend to start.
Frostbite.
Like every time I say something,
I'm pretty sure you started like the first episode of Part of My Take being like, I love pinky bets.
Yeah, no,
now
I
you're
do.
In one and
no,
now you're,
no,
now
no.
you're scared.
No, I'm in one.
You
I can't be
got
in two at the same time. Let me have one lapse.
Listen.
And then you can come back at me with another pinky
the
bet.
Good Lord gave you two hands for a reason, Big
Cat. Yeah, but that's, but I've, it also, you guys understand that my pinky, it's like human capital. So if I lose both, then what am I going to bet?
Yeah, you're broke.
Then I'm broke.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool
throne. Margin call on you.
The cool throne is Fergie.
Oh, okay, good.
All right.
Josh Duhamel's ex-wife.
Yeah, I know who she is.
Yeah, we know.
Come on.
Oh, just there's a callback to last show.
Okay.
She came out on Instagram. She made light of the situation instead of like being down in the dumps for getting made fun of again. She made light of it, seemed cool, and the Black Eyed Peas, who apparently are still around, just dropped a new album.
Okay, they
did.
Very. Is it good?
I haven't listened to it. I don't know if I will.
Okay.
But she's back. I mean, she's on the cool throne. She's back in the news cycle.
They released an album in like 2003 that was strictly released just so it could be the soundtrack to NBA games on TNT.
Yeah.
It was like every single song was just a commercial song.
Yes.
They're the Imagine Dragons.
The Imagine Dragons, the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, also credit to us for bringing back Bush.
Yeah.
Because we know that ESPN did that after we talked about Bush on Monday.
Mm-hmm. That halftime show shit is so weird.
Oh, my God.
I don't
want to
come back
it
down
so
from this
weird.
Crowd.
Oh, it's
taking
so painful.
All this, all this
the one on Monday, there were like 15 middle-aged people dancing at the Niagara Falls. And it was uncomfortable to watch.
It looked like Jim and Pam's wedding.
It was.
So they've had Bush. They've had Garbage. Which is just, anytime you say, now, ladies and gentlemen, garbage.
When are they going to get Hole back?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Lil Yachty.
No, yeah.
Oh, Hank's on the board. Damn,
They had Good Charlotte playing a new song.
Play the hits.
Yeah.
PFT, you go.
Oh, I had another cool thing.
Oh, he had another one. Go. Yeah, let's let Hank finish. It's polite week.
Tiger and Phil. They're coming out with the HBO 24/7 before their match.
Hell yes.
Okay, I always love those.
Hell yes.
And the fact that everyone that's talking shit about the price and stuff, like it's on the things. Putting it out the Friday after Thanksgiving is like the perfect day for it.
Yeah, that's when Tiger got arrested, isn't it?
Stay woke, by the way. If you are a hacker on the internet, the Tiger and Phil pay-per-view illegal streams will be a field day. Because I would imagine a lot of like 50-year-old white dudes trying to find a Twitch stream. Mm-hmm. We'll end up with a lot of hacking.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of compromised computers.
A lot of people that don't know. I'm just going to type in every combination of email address at AOL.com, send it out, and it'll just be a link to my PayPal.
It's going to be a bloodbath on the internet.
It's going to be pretty bad.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that, too, because Phil Mickelson, you can show his nipples on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to blur those out on other networks.
True. Real sex. Bring back real sex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. PFT, you go.
Okay, my hot seat, well, Big Cat is on the hot seat, not only for the Texans and your pinky, but also because your Chicago Bears have to play against Nathan Peterman on Sunday. Peterman's back.
That's totally a game that we're going to lose.
Yeah, Peterman is back.
Just, like, I would have, Derek Anderson, I would have felt comfortable. Like,
did you know that he played golf this offseason?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. It would just be so perfect for the Bears to somehow finish 9-7. Like, beat the Rams, finish 9-7, finish out of the playoffs, be like, well, you lost to Nathan Peterman and Brock Osweiler.
Nathan Peterman hasn't played his best game yet. And I know that because he wouldn't still be on the roster if he was that bad. Maybe you see in Nathan Peterman exactly what the Bills coaching staff sees him. It's like he's got it in there somewhere.
He's scary.
He is scary. He's not afraid.
No.
So
that's for sure.
Yes,
he'll throw it.
He's going to wing it out there. So look out for that. Our good friend, my internet dad, Mike Florio, said that starting Nathan Peterman is like letting your dog drive a car. No matter how badly he wants to do it, you can't just let him. Mike, yes, if your dog wants to drive a car, you got to roll the dice on that.
Well, and also, Mike, if your dog is asking you to drive the car, maybe put down the acid for a second.
Maybe it's just your son.
Yeah,
and
the peyote
he's 20
smoking
years old,
is laced with something.
Mm-hmm. By the way, dog driving car. I looked it up. I actually looked up if dogs can drive cars.
Yeah.
They can. So, Florio, why don't you fact check before you tweet this ignorant shit out about dogs not being able to drive cars.
Okay.
My cool throne is murder.
Nice.
Because Whitey Bulger the actually, wasn't he one of the characters in The Departed?
I think it was loosely based on him.
Loosely based on him. He was murdered in prison in West Virginia today, and everybody was, like, acting happy about it.
Yeah.
Somebody lost a life, okay? Let's show some respect. He was, like, 89 years old. Getting murdered at 89, listen, if you die of murder or of, like, a drug overdose at the age of 89, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
That adds to your obituary.
Yeah, your street cred.
Yeah.
Although the obituary probably will mention all the murders he committed first.
Allegedly.
Yeah, alleged murders.
No, I'm pretty sure that the reason why he was in prison was because of murder, guys.
Listen, allegedly. I'm not taking any chances.
No, that would be convicted murderer,
no.
Whitey Bulger.
Listen, I've seen The Americans before, okay? Sometimes people go to prison in West Virginia and their death is completely staged.
He
might still be alive.
We're so fucking scared of, like, slander and libel that we're saying allegedly in front of a guy who has been convicted of murder.
Yeah.
I think it was just, like, money laundering.
No,
or something.
I'm pretty sure it was, like, 10 or 11 murders and he probably committed about 100.
No. Manslaughter.
Okay, is that it?
No, it's not it. Well, also murder because DJ Durkin got to keep his job in Maryland. They just announced that.
Ooh.
My Yikes. Other cool throw-in is the state of Oklahoma.
Okay.
Because Barry Switzer counseled Lincoln Riley on Twitter today.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the job that you would leave would be more attractive than the one that you would get at the Browns.
Mm.
So don't do it. So don't do it. So it looks like Lincoln Riley is... According to Barry Switzer, if Barry Switzer gets his way, Lincoln's going to be head coach for life.
The Browns hiring a college coach would be just so classic Browns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, when is a college coach don't work in the NFL?
They would just be doing it to make Baker Mayfield happy. It's
yeah.
Like these two worked together earlier.
Right. It would be so Browns.
It's like doing Anchorman 3.
Yeah, and they're
it's
actually...
It's like, hey, they were funny.
Florio also, I think, said that Matt Campbell, Iowa State, like the rumors around him going to the Cleveland Browns is real, too.
Yeah.
Great.
And there's a huge rumor out there about Sean McVay getting traded to the Browns.
Which isn't
Did
at
you
all.
See that one?
Yeah,
How many first-round picks would you take if you were the Rams to send Sean McVay?
There's not a number.
Yeah, you couldn't say like 7, 8? No?
Nope.
Because then, well, they bring back Fisher.
Nope. Oh, yeah. Yes, you caught me there.
Would you send Sean McVay to Montana to go live in Jeff Fisher's house in exchange for Jeff Fisher?
Yeah, it would be awesome to watch Jeff Fisher go back to the Rams and Todd Gurley go back to, like, getting 30 yards rushing every game.
Well, it would serve him right.
Yeah.
Oh, Todd, you don't like rushing for yards anymore?
Oh.
Guess what? I've got the perfect coach for your system.
Good segue, PFT, because my hot seat is your boy, Mike Greenberg. With the fucking lamest take of all time.
No.
Yeah, it was.
Come on.
He's probably doing satire.
He tweeted, if you criticize Todd Gurley for what he did at the end of the Rams-Packers game, you should never be allowed to comment on sports ever again. Get the fuck out of here, Greeny. I'm going to comment on betting because guess what? Gambling, people gambling on the NFL has paid for a shitload of your salary, Greeny.
Oh, we pay Greeny's salary?
Yes, we pay Greeny's salary. People watch because they have an investment in fantasy or gambling, and they can bitch about it because that's what we do as sports fans.
Listen, what happened was Mike Greenberg's a Jets fan, and he is so unaccustomed to watching his players do smart things at the end of games to secure wins that he instantly fell in love with Todd Gurley. He'd never seen anything like that before.
Yeah,
a guy, he gave up his personal stats to win a game. Holy shit, that's amazing.
True. That's true.
So you'll have to forgive Greeny because he's not used to this type of thing.
That's such a lame
so back
take,
off.
Though. Jesus Christ, Greeny. Like, come on. All right, my other hot seat is future me. So I went to jury duty today, and first of all, I met a very nice man who I helped. He couldn't speak English, and I filled out all his forms for him. And then they were like, anyone who doesn't speak English, go to that room. And we had like a goodbye, like a Rose Jack Titanic situation where he's like, are we leaving? And
he's a goodbye friend.
I was like, I speak English. You don't.
You
got to go.
You stayed
I'm
on
staying.
The door and you let him drown in the Atlantic Ocean.
He looked at me. It was like, oh my God. But I went to jury duty and they said, if anyone's traveling in the next week, you can go to this room. So I went to that room. And I was going to say...
That's all the cool people in that room.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to LSU this weekend.
Everybody in that room has a little plane emoji in their Twitter bio.
Yeah, but I kind of froze on when he asked me. He's like, so what? Because he's like, I need your itinerary. I couldn't find it. So he asked me, he's like, what's your excuse? I was like, well, it's football season and I got a lot of travel in football season. And he's like, okay. He's like, so when can you come back? I was like, maybe January? And he's like, isn't that the playoffs? I was like, yeah, you're right. He's like, okay, so come back after the Super Bowl. So I now have jury duty after the Super Bowl, which is the worst time of the year. And I think my plan now is every time I go in for jury duty, just try to keep saying, well, March Madness is coming up. Well, the NBA playoffs, the Kentucky Derby is going to be here. And just see how long I can push it till we get to that like Wednesday after the All-Star
game.
That,
the Women's World Cup next summer.
Yeah,
my schedule is all booked up.
But shout out to that guy for taking it's football season as a legitimate excuse for not wanting to be on jury.
Well, that's what they did with Pac-Man Jones with his trial and his sentencing. They were like, you know, okay, you got a job to do on Sunday. Okay, well, actually, yes, you can come in January because it's the playoff season and the Bengals won't be in there.
Yes, it's miserable, by the way. Have you been to jury duty?
I have avoided jury duty.
I did too for a very long time, both willfully and unwillfully. I forgot about jury duty when I was called in Chicago and just skipped it. Mm-hmm. And then this time...
Against your will?
No, I willfully skipped it. There were times when I got a notice and I said, I'm not going. And then there was a time where I got a notice and I just forgot. And a month later, I was like, whoops, I forgot.
Mm-hmm. I watched the movie 12 Angry Men one time. Yeah. And I was like, what? 12 Angry Men, what is this? The replies to a Michelle Beadle tweet?
Oh, shit.
Bam.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was really good. Because you're a lefty and you're like, be nice to White Knight online. Yeah.
Preferred nomenclature is White Knight.
Yes, exactly. They also played a YouTube video that was like, you're going to enjoy your jury service because you're going to learn how the legal system works. I don't think so.
That's a great spin zone.
Yeah,
though.
I don't think so. Like, I don't think
who here is excited to learn about city government?
You're going to have a lot of respect for how people get incarcerated.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Big left cat over there.
Yeah, there we go. All right, so cool throne. I have two cool thrones. One is Eli Manning because he framed Kyle Uletta to get arrested. Mm-hmm. Do you see that?
I did see that.
That was pretty nice.
I did hear about that.
Did you hear about that?
Did you see that? I did, yeah.
So Archie Manning, we know. Let's just say, we'll leave it at that. We know.
It really speaks to how shook they are if they're afraid of Kyle Uletta.
Yes, but they are. The Mannings are afraid of Kyle Uletta.
Well, they got rid of Austin Davis, too, in the offseason.
Yeah.
Davis Webb.
Yes.
They got rid of Davis Webb because that was like a fifth-round pick.
What a
that
shitty
was
name, too.
Nipping too close at his heels. Yes. I almost got triggered about you making fun of Davis Webb, and then I was like, you know what?
That is a shitty name.
Why do I care about Davis
Webb? And that is a shitty name.
I think it's because hey, Davis, if you're a listener, I just know I was going to defend you.
Oh, is it because you think he listens?
I think so.
But it's like, I'll say it to his face. Like, I'm not, it's no offense, dude, but your name is not remembered. Like, you couldn't even remember it.
Right. Well, I struggled to remember it.
It's a last name and a
you know what it is?
Condition that, like, kids have that's gross that makes them swim faster.
Web feet?
Yeah.
I actually have a web toe.
Do you?
Fun fact, yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
Let me see it.
My two middle toe. You want to see it right now?
Yeah, let's see it right
now.
I
forget which foot it's on.
There's no way.
Davis Webb actually sounds like it's a great golfer name.
Yes. There you go. Or a bowler.
Or a bowler.
Or a bowler.
So you were being nice.
He couldn't. Yeah, he just isn't a quarterback. So that's so. It's
oh,
not
you're
as,
there. Okay.
It's not a shitty name.
See those two right there?
Ew! Gross.
My middle two fingers.
Oh,
my middle two toes
dude.
Are webbed. Yeah.
You're a deformed human being.
Well, I'm a really fast swimmer.
I'm not as fast as me. Proved it in Jacksonville pool. That's a fact.
No, that wasn't fast.
Yeah,
that
that's
was
a fact.
That
that's
was who has
underwater. I beat you in a race in California.
Yeah, I don't know
you
about
can
that.
Hold your breath longer.
I don't know about that.
It's about lung capacity.
It's on
okay.
Camera.
And sorry, I'm cooler and stoked cigarettes for longer than you did, so I got weaker lungs.
I'm just better swimmer than both you guys. Okay, so my other cool throne is the Chicago Bulls. They're back. They outscored the Golden State Warriors by 17 points in the second half on Monday night.
That's huge.
Huge.
Yeah, what was the score on aggregate?
We don't have to get into that. I mean, maybe the Warriors scored 92 points in the first half, and Klay Thompson scored 52 points in 25 minutes. But we don't have to get into that. The point is, the Bulls just ran out of time. That was simply what it was.
Yeah, the Warriors' greatest weapon is the clock.
There's nothing more demoralizing for a franchise than having a guy like Klay Thompson come into your building, play for 25 minutes, so he basically sat down on the bench halfway through the third quarter, and have all the fans cheering for him to break the three-point record, because that's the highlight of the Bulls season, is someone else breaking a record on the court.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
Campaign had that good quarter.
Campaign did. Never forget. I forgot the date. Yeah, just never forget.
Are they going to extend him, Campaign? Do they need campaign finance reform?
Ooh. They probably do. They probably do. Okay, let's get to our interview.
You can bleep that joke out.
We got a big interview. Mark Wahlberg. So, set the stage. We interviewed Mark Wahlberg Sunday morning at a, what was it? I mean, it was like a
Mandarin
press,
Hotel.
Yeah, it was like a little press junket where we had 25 minutes and We had a strict 25 minutes, but it was very fun. And I think Mark Wahlberg's our best friend now.
He likes us a lot, yeah. We got first crack at him, too, which is nice.
Did we?
Yeah. They bumped us up to number one.
Oh, number one.
So we got him fresh.
Number one crack at Mark Wahlberg. So let's get to that. Before we do that...
Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, here he is, Mark Wahlberg.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is Mark Wahlberg. His new movie, Instant Family, is coming out November 16th. I actually have a bone to pick with you about the script.
Why?
Do you have anything to do with the script writing or no. The lines? Can you change a line during it?
I can say whatever I want. Doesn't mean it's going to make it in the cut.
Why, okay, because you bashed Blake Griffin in the trade from the Clippers to the Pistons.
No, I didn't.
Well, you were like, that was a good trade by the Clippers, meaning Blake's not
I
great.
Was being facetious.
Oh,
to okay. The kid.
Oh, there we go.
You were trying to be a supportive father.
I was yes. trying to make the kid feel better about them trading their best player who just put up 50.
Yes, yeah. 50 okay. burger. Yes, yeah. So it was a great movie. I also...
Yeah, I actually did improvise that line.
You did?
So I take full credit for that.
All right, so I felt very special because I got a screening of it, and I didn't realize that they'd watermark your name across the screening, so you can't... like reproduce it. I didn't know that was a thing.
You don't want to go to federal prison for bootleg.
Yeah.
Is that what is yeah. that I've seen the FBI warnings at the start of the movies. I didn't know that they actually took it that seriously.
I'll pass it along to a friend, see what happens.
All right, no, I did enjoy the movie. You guys did kind of a cheat code in it, which is just have a giant dog in a movie, mm-hmm. which just makes it instantly more likable. So if you like movies with big fluffy cuddly dogs,
yeah, if you're into that thing, I guess. But no, hopefully that's not going to decide whether or not the movie's a success.
Yes. Right? What does decide whether a movie's a success? And do you know it right away? Are you like, this movie's going to be awesome?
Well, you kind of intuitively feel like, yes, this movie is going to be really funny and heartwarming and emotional and all that stuff. But, you know, it's difficult to make movies, never mind making good ones. So you always go in with the best intentions, and it's never for lack of effort, but they don't always turn out the way you hope. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about, you know, what gets you into the Hall of Fame in baseball, if batting 300, I think I'm about probably 50-50 with the movies that turned out to be good and worked versus movies that didn't. So, but it's tough. And I think you got audience reaction, of course, being a producer on a movie, you've got, return on the investment. So, you know, you want the people that are funding the movies to be successful. So you want box office as a component of that. People who say it's not are liars. It's a number of factors.
Has there ever been one that you were surprised that like, wow, I didn't think this was going to be as successful as it ended up being?
Kind of like runaway hits like Ted, you know, you always kind of knew that the movie had potential, but you didn't know it was going to be the biggest R-rated comedy of all time.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't know it was going to be nice, 550.
Nice flex, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. That's you how much did it do?
Back at 550 yeah. million.
When's
that's
Ted 3?
A little money for a movie about a teddy bear. That's awesome. Yeah.
No, I should be wearing the glasses.
You should, yeah. Right, you're Hollywood.
Is Ted 3 coming?
Thing, baby.
Is Ted 3 coming?
No plans to do Ted 3.
You just got to say it so that we get everyone listens, and then they start being like, pardon my take, first report
we're
of Ted 3.
You guys in Ted 3.
Exclusive.
Okay, all right, perfect. Nice, Ted 3 happening.
Is there a project that is like a passion of yours that you've been trying to get off the ground for a while that, you know, you'd like to end up doing one day that for whatever reason hasn't made it yet?
No, not in the way like Fighter was a constant uphill battle to get made. I've been working on this movie. The thing that I'm most passionate about right now is a movie about a guy who was a kind of tough guy, fighter out of Helena, Montana, who eventually through different events in his life, a couple of tragedies, ended up becoming a priest and died of a rare muscular degenerative disease. But lots of crazy things happen in between that. And so that's the thing that I'm most excited about now that I've been developing and looking forward to making in the near future.
Yeah. Have you gotten to a point, though, in your career where if you're like, I'm passionate about this, you can kind of not you know, snap and have it be made, but mm-hmm. I'd assume that if you are passionate about a project, it's going to get done.
Yeah, I mean, I've been successful in getting movies off the ground that that I'm passionate about. This movie isn't like a, you know, it's not like Avatar where it's groundbreaking technology and it costs $250 million to make. It's a pretty simple story about a guy who and his journey. So, you know, it's not an expensive movie to get made. But $6 Billion Man is another movie that we've been kind of pushing uphill for quite some time. And hopefully we'll be shooting that movie this spring. That's another one that adds. Nice. And that's a much more ambitious project that's, you know, got a bigger price tag on it. So
I got a pitch for you. You ready for this?
Yeah.
You want to be James Bond?
Mm. No, I want to be the blue-collar James Bond.
There you go, Boston James Bond.
Yeah, sure.
Somebody stole the red Auerbach statue.
What?
You got to track their ass down.
I mean,
let's get him.
Would you do it?
Yeah. It all depends on the writer and the director. If it, you know, if it's a good idea if executed properly. Mm-hmm. It's a you know 30 film and franchise.
Instead of a Porsche, it's a Ford F-150 with like a Dunkin' Donuts in the cup holder and mm-hmm. a Patriots.
Yeah, I don't know about the Ford F-150. That's a little bit more outside of Boston. Okay. That's a little bit all more right. like yeah. Wareham.
We workshop it.
It's a Wareham, Civic, and it's got a Falcons 28 Patriots 3 flag Ooh. Flying from the antenna.
Yeah, we like that. Yeah. We like a, you know, yeah, let's give them a, you know.
Can we talk about that because we're a sports podcast?
Sure.
Are you, when you left the Super Bowl early, you've talked about it a million times, mm-hmm. but I have a question. Were you at some point when you saw them coming back, you were kind of rooting against the Patriots? Because I definitely would root against my team if, like, I left and I was like, this can't happen. I can't have it. I can't have them come back.
No, the only thing that matters is victory. Okay. I don't care if I'm there or not there. My wife is there. So I'm not gonna celebrate like I did when we beat the Seahawks and go till 6 a.m. You know, keeping my two sons up that late. It was actually perfect. I had to be at Pebble Beach at 7 a.m. My son had a meltdown. They were already on their way coming back. It all worked out perfect.
Were you surprised that like turned into such a big thing?
I was. Yeah. Well, you know what it is I think what happened was, as I was going, people that I know from the media and people that I know from Atlanta were kind of all over me. Right? And they were talking and gloating and all this stuff. And I was like, dude, I got an 8-year-old here dropping F-bombs, throwing stuff, saying everybody effing sucks. And
that's
this and that.
I mean, that's how so I'm 33 like, okay. and I deal my wife, with losses the same
yeah,
way.
My yeah. wife had never been to a football game before. So I'm like, this is not really how it's supposed to be going down. You
usually
know,
the Patriots win. I don't know what's going on.
We've been in many situations like that. So I was like, okay, we're getting back to the hotel. We saw them win, went to bed. It all timed out perfect. But, yeah, and then all those guys who were gloating were now having to deal with me calling them up on FaceTime.
Right.
Saying, why would you celebrate before it's over? It's like mm-hmm. walking around this hotel today, people are like, oh, yeah, Red Sox. I'm like, dude, it's not over yet.
So you haven't been corrupted by L.A. yet. You're not rooting for the Dodgers at all.
No. I mean, look, if the Dodgers – I mean – the Dodgers got fair weather fans. I mean, you talk about guys who will go from the Kings to the Dodgers to the Clippers to the Lakers. It's like my friend from Texas. He roots for every single team from Texas, mm-hmm. every college team, every baseball team, basketball team, football team. It's like enough already.
Do you think your son is have you had to have a talk with him? Like, hey, we're not going to win every year because you guys, like his whole life, if he's eight.
They're used to winning. Yeah, I told them it's not normal that, uh-huh. that we've been kind of on this kind of run. But yeah. that's all that they know. And yeah. you know, my wife, she never knew anything about football. She hated football. She hated anything that had to do with sports and me getting crazy. And now she's at every practice of my son plays tackle football. She's at every practice. She's at every game. She's screaming in the kitchen about the Patriots. And she, to the point where it like chased me out of the room.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to go watch on my own. You know, I have my own whole system. She doesn't even know what's going on. She's like, why did he throw the ball? I'm like, because he's about to get sacked. Mm-hmm. There's nobody open. You want to lose 10 yards or just, you know, have, you know, second and three instead of, you know, second and 15. I mean, just, you know, just relax.
Yeah.
If you were to power rank your Boston sports fandoms by team, how's it go? Patriots won or Red Sox won?
Patriots. Patriots won, absolutely. Patriots gave us so much joy. There was so much heartache and disappointment, you know, being a Red Sox fan, being a Bostonian for so many years. I'm just glad they got over the hump. I think for me, when they beat the Yankees in 04, when they came back down 3-0, it was like that was enough for mm-hmm. everybody to celebrate. But then having, you know, then swept the Cardinals. And, you know, they've been winning. It's fantastic. You know, thrilled for the Red Sox. But, no, the Patriots, I don't know, I just have a much more, I don't know, personal connection to the team. And, you know, They've boosted the city when they needed it most.
Have you met Bill Belichick? Has he given you a look like, ooh, this guy? He's like, you know, nice white guy, can get in the middle. Like, I could probably use him on the team.
I've spent some quality time with Bill. It's nice to be able to see Bill, you know, on TV doing his classic Belichick. You know, we're moving on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, and is also, he funny in real life?
Oh, he's hilarious.
I don't
he's
buy hilarious. That.
Yeah, he is.
I think you have like a contract that you have to say that.
So, but no, you want to see something. So I'll share a little story with you really quickly. So we had just had a screening of the Patriots had just screened Lone Survivor. And then we were screening Lone Survivor in Hingham at the Patriot Theater. Just a coincidence, not the team's theaters. In Hingham, right next to Wahlburgers. And Marcus Luttrell was there. Bill Belichick came. And we were having dinner. And we're sitting there cutting up, drinking, all that stuff. All of a sudden, Julian Edelman walked in with, I think, with Gronk and Stephen Ridley. And Bill looked at them. They didn't know he was there. They looked at us. They came over and said, we just wanted to say hi, great movie. And they walked out the door. they were ready to get it in and have a good night. And then they saw Bill and it was like, oh.
No. Hell no. That's awesome.
So he's actually like a bigger personality than he is. Can you like see a switch flip in him? If he's out somewhere and, you know, he sees somebody that he doesn't want to talk to, he goes from like being gregarious, joke-telling Bill to just like, you know, certainly we're going to be looking at all facets of our game next week. Like that, Bill?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, I remember it was weird because when I went to the Super Bowl last time, he was in such a great mood. You know what I mean? And it was like talkative and all that stuff. And I was like, you know, I was on the field with my wife and the kids and we were talking, Mr. Kraft and I were there, and all of a sudden, you know, hey, what's going on? And, you know, he's just kind of just into like, you know, that kind of joyful guy that I know off the field. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, hey, dude, I'm sorry, don't you got something to do?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no, don't worry about that. What's going on? Everything's good. How's the kids? Everybody's good. And,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the best of the best.
I mean, it's hard to argue.
It's impossible
with that.
To argue.
Yes.
I mean, right? It's all subjective. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah. It's very tough to argue with that. What's your favorite movie that you've ever done? And then we're going to tell you our favorites that you've done.
All right, cool.
Well, you can guess, actually.
I'm more interested in what you think.
Okay, you tell us yours, then you guess what we're going to say.
Who knows?
You can guess.
Yeah, you guess. You guess.
I don't know. I don't know. Is he looking at me?
Yeah, you don't know. I'm keeping you off balance right now.
He's on you.
I don't know what's going on.
I'm looking at your door guy over there, making sure he's not going to lock in and pull out a 9mm on me.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking at.
Eat a piece of the carpet. He's getting hungry. You know what? I always kind of have a tendency to gravitate towards the true story. So whether it be Lone Survivor, Fighter, Invincible.
Yep.
The Fighter.
Movies like that.
That's a
Fighter was very good.
Can I do a quick Fighter? Sure. Not you, not you, and not you.
You got to do
that. Is that pretty good?
Head body.
Yeah. Head body. Not you and not you.
We got to work on the accent.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
I'm working on
but, hey, you sound...
Yeah, no, you that was good. That was good.
What I like about that, I mean, like, anytime somebody's in a movie with Christian Bale, I think it's like playing with Tom Brady would be a good analogy, I would think. Like, he makes everybody, like, so much better around him. He's just so fucking good. You know, would you agree with that, or am I just giving him way too much credit?
Well, I think I elevated his game in that particular
situation. Okay. Well, just like Will Ferrell elevated your game and Daddy's Home.
Well, I think it's the reverse in that situation, in that scenario as well.
Who's
the
alpha?
But that being said, no, Christian was fantastic. You know, it was one of those things where that movie was something at one point in its first... you know, it was supposed to be a big $70 million movie at Paramount. There were a number of different directors. At one point, Brad Pitt was attached to play Dick Eklund. Dick Eklund was always the flashier role. I mean, this the guy who was supposed to be the great champion, had this terrible fall from grace, drug addiction, all that stuff, was a really kind of flashy, flamboyant guy. Mickey is the quietest kind of... You know, when I know Mickey, and I was just with Mickey last week in Boston, he comes out of his shell, kind of like Bill. But, you know, other than that, he's usually really shy and quiet. But Matt Damon was attached to play that part. And, you know, I thought Christian would absolutely kill it. I had seen him in The Machinist and other movies, and I was like, okay, this is the guy. And then ultimately the studio was like, oh, I don't know, I don't see it. And so I got the movie out of Paramount, was able to finance the movie. We did it for less than $20 million. I think ultimately it was like $11 million I ended up spending on the movie. But he was fantastic. He killed it.
Mm-hmm. How is Netflix, you mentioned like the price of movies, how has Netflix changed like the movie making process? Are most movies made for a lot less money now?
No, I think it depends. I think For us, television changed the game more than streaming services. I mean, we started producing television. I was at HBO with Entourage, and so instead of having you know, yeah, 70 day,
instead of, we're gonna get to that part. Yeah. I have a pitch for you.
This is actually my funnest interview.
There we go.
In a long time.
Yeah.
But they
hug it out, bitch.
They had. Well, I don't know that far. You guys play that. But no, it started out where it was like, you know, you had X amount of time and X amount of money. And then with television, it was like, you know, you had a lot less time and a lot less money. So we were just kind of doing things on the go. And then when DVD sales started to decline and studios were crying poverty, we were like, well, we can make movies for less money, but we want to be able to participate in the profits if they're successful. So mm-hmm. you take the risk to be able to, you know, reap the rewards if the movies work. And then with Netflix and with streaming services, I mean, people just, you know, technology has changed, everything changed. So people decide when and where and how they want to view their content. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually making my first Netflix movie now as an actor.
Nice.
And it'd be interesting to see. You know, we'll still get a theatrical release and that stuff, but people want to watch when and where they want to watch.
I was gonna
say, you cannot fight the inevitable.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you have to be a real artist now, you have to make like a super indie Netflix release. And be like, this has been my passion project for all my life, and now Netflix, I can do it. You got to do that whole thing.
You do a silent film. Yeah. Black and white silent
film.
Yeah, just everybody
be your
like,
face.
Oh, he's reinvented himself.
It's you doing curls for an hour and a half.
Ooh, there you go.
And you've just been, it's your Netflix passion project.
You and Paul Ryan doing
we got a lot of,
videos
we're starting
together.
To cook. Yeah. I don't know if you see what's going on this side.
Do you know Adam Sandler?
I do.
Okay.
Okay, we'll talk about that later.
We'll get to that.
Well, I actually do have some pitches for you. So you have Entourage.
Yeah.
Then you did Entourage for the NFL with Ballers. Mm-hmm. You ever think about doing Entourage for like bloggers and podcasters?
Yeah.
Just think about it.
We're basically like NFL players, except we're not rich.
Yeah.
We don't really have sex.
Yeah.
We're just boring versions. Like, yeah, just like 1% milk version.
Right.
There's an audience for that.
There's a story arc where one of the podcasters is like, I'm dating this model, but it's actually, he just made it up. And he's like, you guys don't even know how hot she is. She mm-hmm. lives in Canada, that whole thing.
Yeah, there's a part where we're interviewing some actor, and then it goes way off the rails. Like, you can include like all this stuff.
Yeah, and he just wants to punch us, but he's not going to.
But he's just staring at like one of the guys because
and then
he's like,
he's like you know what?
Sunglasses.
I like you guys so much.
Guys,
I'm going to give you money.
This shit.
I could beat the shit out of
I have so much cash in my pocket from my hamburger industry. Boom. And he just gives us all this money.
See, what you guys don't realize, you're stuck in this room together all the time looking at each other. Packages. Like, talent is sexy to women. You guys got to get out to
them. True.
Yeah, we do.
True.
We don't really
true.
Get out there.
We didn't finish the, what do you think, our favorite movie.
We never got to it.
Yeah,
I'm
so
interested.
Guess.
Fuck, I did 50 fucking movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess.
It's a lot to choose from.
Cut to the chase.
All right, I'll just say Boogie Nights.
Yeah, Boogie Nights is mine too.
You too?
Yeah.
Were you pissed off that they didn't let you use your own cock?
No, not at all.
I would have been.
Wait, how do you know he didn't?
I would have been like, "What's wrong with me?"
No,
like,
it's the only
I'm not.
I've
they
ever
were body
kept
shaming
from
you.
Yeah. Oh, that's
they body, yes. In actuality, yes. In today's day, that would be body shaming.
Yeah.
I would have a lawsuit.
Were you surprised at Boogie Nights? That became like such a cult classic, and that became a movie that just lived on.
That was a movie where it was like, okay, this movie could be. You know, before I got in the script, I got pitched the movie, and I was like, I'm not doing that. You know, I had just kind of come from music and the Calvin Klein thing, and I was like, what the heck? Now all of a sudden they want me to be a porn star? I was like,
no,
I'm not doing that. And then Showgirls had just come out, and that was a complete and utter disaster. So it was like, but I kept hearing from other people, no, this is great. The script is fantastic. Just read the script, meet with the director. And finally, I picked up the script, read like the first 30 pages, and I was like, I don't know. This could be great, and this could be really bad. And then once I met with Paul Thomas Anderson, I was like, okay. This guy's legit. He's on the level. You know, this is not some ploy to get Marky Mark finally out of the underwear.
Yes.
Like, so I committed right away. And it was one of those things where, you know, you're always curious because, you know, De Niro was attached at one point to play the Burt Reynolds part.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Barrymore was going to play Roller Girl. Sean Penn was going to play the Alfred Molina part. There were a lot of people circling that movie for quite some time before it got off the ground. So.
How does that work? Do you know if someone like is up for a role that you're up for? Do you hear all that? And you're like, I'm going up against this guy for this role.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, like at this stage of the game, certainly, you know, there's only a handful of guys where it's like, okay, there's a piece of material floating around and they know so-and-so is interested, or, you know, they go to so-and-so first, or, you know, somebody's attached, or people are competing to get, you know, an IP that's out there, a book or something that's come out, you know. So
who's the top dog? Is it DiCaprio? They're like, oh, Leo's got it, so no one else gets it.
It depends on what it is. I think everybody, you know, I think there are certain things that he does better than anybody else, and there's other things that I, you know, I do comedy, I do action, I do drama. So it kind of depends on what it is.
Yeah.
What was the last movie that you really wanted to
do? I ain't never saying nobody's better than me.
No, there you go. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Don't get that twisted. Yes.
Is there a movie that pops to mind? Maybe not the last one, but one that sticks in your head about a movie that you were kind of attached to, you wanted to do, but somebody else ended up getting it?
You know, it depends. I think there may be movies that I was kind of interested at one point or another. I don't think there was ever one where it was like, wow, God, I really should have done that. I think I dodged more bullets than, you know, kind of made bad choices on passing on movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
what's a bullet you dodged?
Starship Troopers.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a great movie. The shower scene? One of my first kids. Yeah. Yeah,
we're at the ripe age of that was like
yeah, great, some of the first movies.
I honestly, I haven't yeah, seen it. I remember. I didn't make it to the tits part.
You should see the tits.
Yeah, it's in like the first 20 minutes. I usually don't make it till then either.
But is there a famous one?
I didn't make it past the...
like Nick Cage was supposed to be Superman. Nick Cage was actually supposed to be everything.
No, I think, you know, I was... kind of in the mix to play Robin, a Batman at one point.
Oh, like the Chris O'Donnell one?
Yeah.
Yeah, like big that. Time bullet dodge there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good that you didn't get that one.
That was smart.
I also liked you in Born Identity. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
Did four of them. Which one was your favorite?
Yeah.
Great franchise.
Three.
Which one was your favorite?
I had the first one.
I like
the one where he shows up on the boat.
Yeah. I like three when you killed all those guys.
Uh-huh. I still have that boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Shit. All right, we're going to wrap up in a second.
Well, I also like The Departed. That was Boston
Entourage. The Departed was, yeah. It was great.
Boston Entourage.
Yeah.
All right, who had the good Boston accents and who had the bad Boston accents?
Jack Nicholson's was not that good.
Jack Nicholson's wasn't great. You know what it was? It was like the older guys that were in the movie that weren't like the main stars that had the real accents. Like if you watch The Wire, it's like all the second-rate cops in The Wire have the real accents.
Leo's was good.
Yeah, Leo's was okay.
Yours was there.
Yeah. Matt Damon had a really good one. Really good.
No, Matt and I used to
He's just a great actor, isn't he?
Matt and I used to sit there and be like, you know what? I think we're going to stick out and be like, fuck, man, we're going to be the ones with the bad accent.
Right. Yeah, that actually is.
Like, why are they talking like that? Right. You know, doesn't everybody talk like JFK?
Yeah, that's actually funny. The pressure's on when everyone's doing it around you. All right, I have one last question. It's a SeatGeek question.
There's one last question?
Well, we got two and then one other. We were told strict time, and we respect your time.
Yeah, I want to go sit in the room talking to some boring journalists.
Yeah, right. We can hang. We could actually put on the
Do you want us
really
to,
want
yeah,
hang.
We could bully the next guys that come in that are boring. Hey, move it along, buddy.
We're going to go watch Time's football money. For the rest of the day. That's basically our job, so you're more than welcome to come hang.
Oh, who won the Jaguars-Eagles game?
We don't talk Eagles, about that. But we're Eagles close game. Personal friends with Blake Bortles, so if you thought about bashing him in that moment, don't.
Blake? Why? What happened to him?
He's a great guy.
He's just going through some bad times.
Yeah.
Did they bench him? What happened?
No, well, they bent him last week because Cody Kessler.
You knew they benched him.
No, I didn't, actually.
Yeah, you're ribbing us.
I know I didn't, actually. Yeah? I knew that he was out of the game. But I'm thinking, no, I didn't know that they benched him because I actually have a day job, so I got a lot of shit to do. But I thought I heard something that and he wasn't playing, and I never heard about him getting hurt. So I was like, for them to bench him is absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why are they still playing Eli Manning yet they're benching Blake Bortles?
Good point.
That makes no sense. It's
See, Tom Coughlin, if he was still with the Giants, he would be. Eli wouldn't be playing.
If you don't want to hang out with Blake,
which I think is crazy too, because Eli, you know, I mean, he brought them two championships, even though they were bullshit wins.
Mm-hmm. They were well,
they count.
Yeah,
they do. But that being said,
Giants were controlling the pressure.
That being said, I mean, Eli should get the kind of respect that he deserves from the Giants fans, and all these guys are flipping so quick.
Well, I don't know if it's quick.
You can't trust these fair weather fans. They'll leave at halftime on you. Yeah.
I don't know what it. Look it. The Patriots have done what nobody else has done, right? The performing at the level that they are for the amount of time that they have is just unheard of, right? So, I mean, the guy won two championships. Okay, you go, you get Saquon Barkley, you kind of rebuild, you overpay Odell. You know, you make some good moves and you make some bad moves, right? But you don't go shit on the guy.
Oh, I disagree. I think that you've been brainwashed by Archie Manning. I have a theory that the Mannings have.
No, I've never heard of anything about Archie.
Oh, you never heard
of him? I know who he is. I know he played for the Saints. I know he has another son who is now doing broadcasting.
Cooper.
Yeah.
Actually, the nicest of the three.
But, I don't think they should have sat Blake Bortles. But I also think, you know, that the Jags were were a little bit more hype, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. You know, still, Blake's going to be fine. Don't worry about Blake. People get
the
hype.
Yeah, yeah. All right, the SeatGeek question. Put in promo code
Why
take.
Are you guys kissing this guy's ass?
Because he's a good friend of ours. He let us stay at his house.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. No, that's serious.
When we're in LA, we stay at your house?
We, like, slept on his couch.
No.
Just kick it out. Okay, fine.
And if it were 15 years ago and I was single, absolutely.
We'd be doing Entourage.
My wife and my kids would be like, what?
Right.
But here, like, the level of defense we're giving to Blake Bortles right now, if you said that we could stay at your house anytime somebody attacked you, you would get that pit bull defense. We'd be all up in their ass.
We'd be Wahlberg guys.
I'd be swimming in that guy's ass.
But you guys didn't really do, you just said a couple things, then they changed the subject. You really didn't do shit.
But you're not talking shit about Blake anymore.
Blake Bortles ain't shit.
Whoa! You want to go? You want to go?
Lock the door.
He's looking at it. He's not leaving. He asked me if I want to go, and then he's looking at his yellow.
I'll sit on you.
Pad.
Okay. SeatGeek question. Promo code take. Here's why you're really intimidated. I read on the internet that you have three nipples.
Yes.
PFT has four.
I got four. You got a problem?
So what's up now?
You intimidated?
What's up now?
See that one right there?
And I have a super deep. I have a super deep belly button.
And then there's four.
That's not enough.
Oh, let's see yours.
It's like a cigarette burn or some shit.
Yeah. See this belly button?
I don't even think you
have. Oh, he was about to risk it all.
I don't even think you have three nipples. I think that you're
that's not a nipple.
Here's a nipple. That's four.
Yeah.
I got 25. I got 33% more nipples than you. What now?
How do you stay in such great shape?
Exercise.
Okay. Yeah. I always wonder that. Yeah. You're just always ripped.
You gotta try. No, I'm not always. It really depends on what I'm doing for a movie. I've gotten I've had the pleasure of, you know, putting on weight in Deepwater Horizon and getting to 200 pounds.
That must have been fun.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it was fun for a couple of
weeks
and then it was like, oh, it was like weird having to sit down to put my socks on.
Yeah, you get tired.
And I'm in Louisiana and it's just fried food.
Oh,
you know what I mean? And it's the summertime and it's just hot.
Love it.
Yeah,
so love it.
I got tired of that after a while.
But I'm looking
forward to eating and drinking again.
Yeah. When you try to put on weight for like good reasons, you don't get to put on fun weight and just eat like fast food and whatever, pizza and ice cream. It's like, okay, you need to drink this milkshake that tastes like shit and has like 70 grams of protein in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you got to be able to mix it right.
It
taste good.
I know, man. I'm in bulking season right now.
All right, Mark Wahlberg. This has been
you're
a tough one.
Hairy than a motherfucker.
Yeah,
I am.
He is.
Well, the nipples, they grow extra. It's like having a nipple is like little fertilizer, little patches of fertilizer for chest hair on your belly.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know because you only got two.
I got
How pronounced is your third?
It's pretty pronounced. It's pretty pronounced.
The jury's still out on that.
We'll have to
it's not
it.
Like... All right. You know what? It's like... A boy nipple. It's not like a man nipple. It didn't.
Oh, okay, little boy
like
nipple.
The other ones, but you that's can cool. tell. Okay, that it's got definitely, it. Definitely says nipple.
Two and a half man.
Little mole. Or
we're getting the cut. We're getting the cut. We're getting the. That's nipple, we're done.
Burn myself.
Mark.
Yeah. Right. Your nipple. Not you. And not you.
Burn yourself with a sparkler. some shit when you were at a Matt Damon concert.
We're about to get killed. We're about to get killed. We appreciate it. We would have done this forever.
It was fun.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
We would have done it forever.
All right.
Literally. That's not like we're going to kidnap
you. Are you guys actually on-air personalities?
Yeah. Holy
shit. That interview with Mackie Mack was brought to you by Dunkin'. We all know what the most important meal of the day is. And while there's some scientific proof to back that up, have you heard about the most important deal of the day? Probably not. Well, move over breakfast because right now you can get 2 bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches for $5 all day long at Dunkin'. And if we can all agree on one thing, it's that 2 bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches is always better than 1, especially if it only costs $5. And we can also probably agree on a few more things, but I won't get into that. America runs on Dunkin'. Barstool runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. 2 bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches for $5. That's actually perfect during a long day of football on a Sunday. You want to have 2 meals, maybe space them out in the first quarter and the fourth quarter. Get yourself 2 bacon, egg, and cheese from Dunkin'. They're delicious. The interview is also brought to you by Stitch Fix. I got Stitch Fix. It comes in the mail once a month. It's great. I got a sick pair of jeans. I got a sick pair of socks. I got some nice V-necks. Stitch Fix is an online personal styling service that finds and delivers clothes, shoes, and accessories to fit your body, your budget, and your lifestyle. Just go to stitchfix.com/PMT
Tell them your sizes, what styles you like, and how much you want to spend on each item. Then you're paired with your very own stylist who handpicks items and sends them right to your door. You try them on, you pay only for what you love, and you return the rest. Shipping, exchanges, and returns are always free. There's no subscription required. You can sign up to receive scheduled shipments or get your fix whenever you want. Their styling fee is only $20, which is applied toward anything you keep from your shipment. Get started now at stitchfix.com/PMT and you'll get an extra 25% off when you keep all items in your box. That's stitchfix.com/PMT. Get started today. stitchfix.com/PMT.
Okay, let's get to some segments. And before we do that, I have been distraught for the last 3 days for the biggest fuck up we've ever had in an interview. On Sunday night, so we interviewed Mark Wahlberg Sunday morning. We had a full fucking day. I was coming back from Jacksonville. It was a weird time. We've never done a Sunday morning interview. Yeah. Like, it's just, when we get weird timed interviews, we're always just a little off.
Because we're thinking in the back of our mind at, you know, 2 o'clock on a Sunday, we're like, what's the score of the Jets game?
Right.
What's going on in Chicago?
Yeah. Exactly. So on Sunday night at like 2 in the morning after we finished taping, I texted the group text and I said, we fucked up more than we've ever fucked up. And that was not asking Mark Wahlberg about Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, sorry about
that, guys. I'm so angry at myself, and I want you to know that from deep down that I'm very angry at myself. Now, we did have constraints on time. Not an excuse, but we were getting the, you got
to
go.
We would have gotten around to it.
We would have gotten around
if they didn't ask us to
stop. Here's what we need from you guys. Anyone who ever sees Mark Wahlberg ever again, say, part of my take needs to ask you about Jimmy Butler. And just keep saying that to him, and eventually he'll come back on. Because he'll be like, who are these? Why are these people keep saying this?
Because the story is he's best friends with Jimmy Butler, right?
Right.
He's like convincing
and
Jimmy to do weird stuff.
He possibly broke up. Like, he possibly is the reason why Jimmy Butler has gone Hollywood.
Yeah, he's the Jimmy Whisperer.
Yes, in a bad way.
Well, we don't know that because
we don't know.
We didn't get to ask
we
him.
Need to
we only
do
know
it again.
One side of the story.
Yes. So please help us out. I don't know how often people will see Mark Wahlberg.
You know what? Just in general, if I'm having a conversation with somebody on an NFL Sunday and it's between the hours of 1 and let's say 6:30, just do me a favor. Every 30 seconds in our conversation, update me on the scores verbally.
My mind is elsewhere.
That way I won't be as distracted.
You could even tell during the interview because I kept on saying, hey, Mark, do you want to just watch some football together? Like, you want to just turn on the TV that's sitting right behind you? Because I was just staring at it the whole time.
Like,
I wish that TV had football on right now. Okay.
Maybe it's your pinky that made you do it. Maybe it's your pinky that's so forgetful.
It's my little spidey sense.
Yeah, you might want to get rid of that
thing.
Gets in more trouble.
Okay, so we have, first up, LeBron blames. The Lakers are bad. LeBron blames is bad. And last night against the Timberwolves, Jimmy Butler hit a last second three, or like 18 seconds left. Yeah, I think he had 15 in the fourth quarter. So,
Mark's doing
PFT,
a good job.
Not to brag, PFT. But LeBron afterwards was asked about frustration. And he said, you probably don't want to be around me when my patience runs out.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a threat.
He's basically saying that he's the Hulk, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
He was threatening the media.
He was. Yeah. He was about to tear his clothes off.
And Lonzo Ball.
Well, or was he mad about their performance?
I think he was mad about their performance because it wasn't on the West Coast, so people actually watched it.
Uh-huh. Sounds like LeBron, you know, this is a symptom of alcohol withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
Bits of rage.
He was getting solo drunk on
That's right.
Oh.
On Sunday night.
Yeah.
Solo dolo?
Yeah.
So
he said going solo again, and then he Instagrammed two. He was like, second bottle.
Well, his kids helped him finish the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little pacifier.
Yeah.
So a little one.
So here's what we know for facts.
And
okay?
Then that, after he tweeted, like after he put up the pictures of the bottles, when he tweeted the MJ thing. So he was drunk tweeting.
Yep. So follow me on this. Okay. Here are the facts as we know them. It's not what you know. It's what you can prove. Shout out Denzel Washington. He had at least two bottles of wine to himself, split maybe with a couple glasses to his like 3-year-old kid or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's enough to intoxicate a man. I ran the calculations on the Alcoholics Anonymous website that shows you exactly how much. That would put his blood alcohol content at above the legal limit, which means he was intoxicated, meaning the next day he was going through symptoms of alcohol withdrawal, which is maybe why they lost, which is why he would be more inclined to snap at members of the press.
Mm.
So there's only one solution to this, as I can see it, And that's if just Gatorade makes like a wine flavor.
Oh, I thought Powerade you were saying rehab. Whatever.
Well, no, he just needs to sip on wine throughout the dance.
Okay, all right. Just
that would be actually kind of nice.
Keep his drunk going.
Yeah, just use the rollover minutes.
It's like waking up on a like Saturday morning hungover, like I need to have a mimosa to get it going again.
Hair of the dog.
Yeah.
So I would be in favor of LeBron just like strapping either bags of Franzia to his system and just like squirting a little bit in his mouth during games, or just on the sidelines when everybody else has a water bottle, just like a little champagne flute that he's just sipping from.
Or maybe like a wine-flavored mouth guard.
Yeah.
That would work. Get the little taste on your lips.
Absolutely.
That's all he needs. So, yeah, LeBron blames. It's in full effect. Although this happens every time early in the season with him. However, I really do think, like,
49 wins. No, not looking good.
And LeBron also was like, wait, we have to play the T-Wolves, and then looked. It was like, if I had stayed in the East, I would have been putting up 52 and 25 minutes against the Bulls.
Yeah, hey,
like, would have been a lot easier.
Hey, when do we play against the Magic?
Yeah, when's our 3 games in a row against the Bulls, the Knicks, and the Magic?
Yeah, so we're going to Charlotte next, right?
Okay. Oh, the Hawks are on the schedule 4 times, right?
Yeah, well, nope. Yeah, murderer's row of the Magic, the Hawks, and the Hornets.
Yeah.
Back to back to back.
Not happening, LeBron.
Not happening in the West.
This is your bed. You made it.
The irony is, I think I actually do like LeBron James more when he's angry. I like mad LeBron when he's showing like some genuine emotion about stuff.
So you're like, oh, LeBron, you're so cute when you're angry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just want to bop him on the nose.
Yeah, I like it when you get mad at me.
Yeah.
Okay, so
pull
next up, staying on the LeBron.
Take that part out too.
Kings stay kings, Skip Bayless. So the Michael Jordan promo for Sunday Night Football went viral. It was a pretty awesome promo. He was talking about the GOAT debate, did a little switcheroo on everyone. Everyone thought, oh, he's going to play LeBron one-on-one and kick his ass and ruin LeBron's legacy. Nope. He was talking about Brady versus Rodgers. Skip Bayless, not so happy. He said, for the first time ever, I'm mad at Michael Jordan. Why did he need to do that Sunday night promo for NBC? Sure doesn't need the money or attention, yet he opened the doors and gave credence to 2 blasphemous debates, MJ versus LBJ and Brady versus Rodgers. MJ and Tom Brady are runaway goats.
Yeah, I love it. I love Skip. He's mad. He's actually more pro Michael Jordan than Michael Jordan is.
Yes.
He's a bigger stan. He's the Michael Jordan of Jordan stans.
Yes, absolutely.
That's and Michael Jordan is the LeBron James of Jordan stans.
Yes, and Nick Wright is the LeBron James of LeBron James stance,
no,
right?
Well, no. Nick
Wright, the Michael Jordan
Nick
of LeBron
Wright
stance.
Is the Bill Russell.
Is the Tom Brady.
Because he's got more rings.
He's the Tom Brady of LeBron stance.
Yeah, I'm struggling to. Yes. That last one that you said was absolutely right.
Yeah.
But it's just the best that Skip is mad at Michael Jordan for even dignifying the LeBron MJ debate.
Double mad.
Yeah, double mad.
Double mad because of the Aaron Rodgers Tom Brady debate.
Yeah.
So that promo was awesome,
though. It was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Jordan has played it well, too, where if he doesn't do like a ton of media, so when he does, it's like seeing a unicorn out in the wild. You're like, whoa, he's doing a promo? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like a really a quiet guy in a movie.
Right,
that doesn't say anything. It's like Blutarsky in Animal House.
Yeah,
when he's like so dumb all the time, he doesn't like do anything important. Then he stands up on a table.
Yep.
And delivers a speech. Is it over? Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? It doesn't matter if you fuck it up because everyone's like, this guy's talking
he
now.
Talked.
Whatever he said, I'm in.
Yeah, be like if Teller ever talked.
Yeah,
Penn?
Teller is ironically the one that doesn't tell.
Talk. He doesn't talk.
Yeah,
got it. Does he talk in real life?
I don't know.
Okay.
Unconfirmed.
We have a hurt or injured Big Ben. He broke his finger.
I'm gonna go injured. I think
full on injured.
He thinks that he's injured.
He's full on injured.
He's full on injured.
This actually, if you are a betting man, and we are, you have to take the Steelers this weekend because an injured Big Ben, or even a Big Ben who thinks he's injured, always is dangerous.
Yes. Because if he is actually feeling pain somewhere, then that's a big part of his brain that's not able to fuck everything up for the rest of his body.
Right. Ow, my finger.
Yeah.
Don't throw that interception.
Plus, he has he's got something to think about, like, after the play where he can, like, really, you know, instead of getting a taunting penalty for, like, spinning a ball or getting up in somebody's face, he's just going to be constantly grabbing that left hand.
Right.
And reminding the cameras that, hey, I'm playing with a broken pinky.
He really is a dog that fakes an injury.
He is.
It's incredible.
I love it. How do you even know if a finger on your opposite hand is broken? I was thinking about that earlier.
Well, I'll tell you when the Texans win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so the only time I think I would ever actually realized that my left index finger was broken, because I use my right hand for literally everything, is when I have to enter in like my phone number or a zip code on an app where you have to use the long number keyboard instead of the very convenient phone one.
Yep.
That, by the way, if you're still making apps in the year of our Lord 2018 that doesn't let me just do the phone keyboard with the numbers, I'm absolutely not signing up for your app.
I'd agree.
That's how lazy I've gotten.
You just also told on yourself you don't have sick handles, so because I use my left all the time when I'm going to the rack.
Oh, when you're driving?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Exactly. We have a Hank Hot in the Streets before we get to Guys on Chicks.
Cardi B and Nicki Minaj back at it.
So what's going on? I saw all the Cardi B. She did like 15 Instagram posts.
Mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj has a radio show called Queen Radio.
Yes.
Okay. She was spouting off saying that Cardi B got attacked at the Harper's Bazaar party. Said, Raw beat you so bad, I was mad at Raw. You went home and told people security hit you, and we let that ride for legal reasons. But in reality, she said, Raw held her head, punched her like 8 times, and I could hear it. I'm talking like the hardest punch you ever heard in your life.
Who punched who?
Someone in Nicki's camp was beating the shit out of Cardi. Allegedly.
Oh.
And then Nicki said, anyone want to release the footage, I'll give him $100,000.
We should stage that footage.
But then, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And that just set Cardi off. She made like 100 videos, roughly.
Yeah. She ruined her Instagram feed.
Yeah.
It looks like shit.
It's just the dot. It looks like Morse code at the top of it. Yeah. Can we get those two to actually just fight and rough and rowdy or just...
Well, she said that. She's like, I'm sick of this internet shit. If you want to talk, let's fucking talk. And then basically like went on that 15 video rant. She put out receipts. She was saying that people were coming to deals with her before Nicki. And like she wasn't...
Love it.
She wasn't like being like... She was putting everything out there like fucking... Like label people's emails, like everything. And then after all that, Nicki just put out a tweet that was like, can we all just get along? And Cardi B put it up, was like, yes, let's do it.
Is it me or is this the best thing that's ever happened to Nicki Minaj?
She's making a comeback.
Wasn't she falling off for a while?
A little bit.
She was getting not cool.
She also was a classic case of there is a level of too much plastic surgery.
Too much butt.
When you get a little too far down the line of Wayne Newton would be a good case of that.
Yes.
Like, hey, when you get addicted to plastic surgery, we can all tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little this, little that, okay. You know, you're in Hollywood, you got to do that. But
there was
when
one
you're doing everything every day, you look weird.
She was at some awards show and she was sitting on a chair on stage and it looked like she was sitting on just like two giant inflatable donut pillows.
Yeah, and she was just like a big wax doll.
Just thick as hell.
Yeah, so thick. 5,000 C's.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't think it's going to end though.
No, I would say no.
Give it like 2 months, the same cycle spout off. Because she has a radio show, so she needs shit to talk about.
Has she gone in an offset yet?
Well, there was the motorsport beef where like her and Nicki were supposed to be on a song together, and like because Offset was on the song, she claimed that Cardi B was like fucking her over.
Can I ask a question? It's a two-parter. It's probably stupid. One, are either Nicki Minaj or Cardi B, are either of them considered ratchet? And two, what is ratchet?
Cardi B's pretty ratchet.
Oh.
Or was pretty ratchet. She admits it, though.
Is that a bad thing?
Depends.
To be ratchet?
It depends.
It just means she goes hard, right?
She was a stripper. She's from the Bronx. She talks about,
see,
you know,
I think that's ratchet shaming. No, I don't think we should ratchet shame. Be ratchet if you want to be ratchet.
Let your freak flag fly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think Cardi B would admit that she
might have been ratchet.
Has a ratchet background.
Got it. A ratchet past.
And where's Nicki Minaj from?
She's also from New York. I think Queens, though.
Oh, that's not that. That's Queens. That's like Kevin James.
Yeah.
That's suburbs.
Yeah. I am Queens.
Okay.
Boulevard.
Yeah. I'm Team Cardi B.
Yeah.
And Nicki Minaj was also calling out Cardi B's sister for like talking shit, but like, and she was like, get your sister in check. But Nicki Minaj's brother is
we're done.
Registered sex.
Go on.
He got arrested for. Like,
oh,
okay.
Now we are done.
Who does he support?
He's Nicki Minaj's
brother.
Okay,
so yeah, again,
yeah.
Cardi B.
We are Team Cardi through and through.
Yeah.
Through and through.
They call us the Cardi 3.
Yeah.
Me, Hank, and Big Cat.
You know what they need is they need the King of New York to decide this.
6ix9ine?
Ha ha ha.
I'm sure he's already weighed in.
All right, let's do it.
How do I convince my boyfriend to leave his dream job helping people in a great city and move to a Rust Belt city working a job that means little to anyone?
Mm. Show him videos of Grit Week.
Just
be like, hey, you want to be tough? You want to be gritty? You want to know where America's heartbeat is?
I mean, wait, is this person dating Sean McVay?
That's
what it sounds like to me. Yeah, just tell him the Browns is actually a very attractive
job.
Yeah,
Baker Mayfield, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, especially Larry Six. Lost again last week.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not into this, Larry. Even though I saved his life, I'm not into him.
After a long night of boozing at the Jersey Shore, I was peeing and when I pulled my romper back up, a cockroach fell out of my pant leg. One of my friends saw what happened and continued to tell everyone. How do I get my friends to just be cool about it and stop calling me crotch roach?
Oh, crotch roach shit, is a bad that's one. That's so good. Mm. No, you're done. The only way to beat a nickname like that is to either, one, do something more disgusting. So if, like, you shit your pants at a bar, you are no longer crotch roach. Crotch roach. Or, two, figure out a way to have one of your friends do something more disgusting so then they can have a nickname that takes over crotch roach.
We talked about something like this a while ago, but if you could somehow transfer the nickname crotch roach onto somebody else.
You need to plant cockroaches into a friend's vagina.
Yeah, or if your friend gets crabs, then they're crotch roach, and then you can be like, we're the crotch roach crew.
Yeah.
And then it becomes like a cool thing, like you're a squad.
Oh, you don't have an STD?
Yeah.
Pussy, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sup, boys, especially Big Cat. Do I go for a slutty Halloween costume or a costume that's actually funny?
I think you go funny.
I think age matters a little bit.
Yeah, but I think you go funny because it's like...
What's the age? When does the cutoff start?
Well, just from what I know, girls, you know, they like to dress up. They like to show off a little bit. It's the one time of year where they can be like, okay, it's going to get wild. I'm going to look cute. It's going to look awesome. And then you kind of get sick of that after a while. You're like, I don't need to have... You know, these things hanging out.
2 years post college.
Listen, but you know what? And this is going to sound like I'm a white knight again. The girl wearing the attractive girl wearing a very funny Halloween costume at the age of, like, you know, 19 through 22 when you're in college, that actually makes you stand out more than the girls that are dressed up as the slutty cat.
Yes, absolutely.
So go funny.
Be yourself.
Sup, thick cat. My boyfriend says he wants to cook more at home, but I can't cook at all. And to be honest, he can't even fix a sandwich. Should I take cooking class or just try to get by with frozen foods?
I got a question.
This guy's definitely just, like, had a bad week.
I don't understand people who cannot cook. And I'm not saying I'm a good cook.
Whoa.
But people who, like, can't, like, I can't cook. I can't make a sandwich. What's wrong with
that? Is that cooking? Or that's just, like, spreading stuff?
Who are these people, like, I can't make pasta? It's the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, just...
Or macaroni and cheese, Hank.
That was one time.
Here's a little tip. Just make a microwave dinner and then put it in a different plate.
Yeah.
And, like, sprinkle a little bit of parsley on it. And then it'll be like, oh, wow, this is home-cooked shit.
But cookbooks are a thing for a reason.
Blue Apron.
You're basically saying you can't follow a direction?
Right.
I do not understand. There's a difference when someone says, I'm a shitty cook. Okay, yeah, you like, don't have any imagination, whatever. But saying I cannot cook... That makes no sense.
It's like somebody saying, I don't have a green thumb with plants. It's like, no, you just water it once a week and then you're fine.
Yeah, you just make sure.
There's a set of steps that everybody follows and it turns out the exact same way.
Right.
Really, like, just, you can either order takeout and just, the key is just going to be make it look like you made it yourself.
Yeah.
Dirty up a couple pans, put them in the sink.
Start small.
Just lie to them.
Just make some hamburger helper.
Yeah.
If you can make hamburger helper, you're good. You're a great cook. Rice-a-roni. You ever do Rice-a-roni?
I've done Rice-a-roni.
Rice-a-roni's great. Yeah, it is.
Sup, boys and Bubba. I constantly catch my boyfriend with his hands in his pants, and he always smells his hand after.
Mm-hmm.
He says he likes to know what he smells like that day, but I just think smelling your own balls is disgusting. Is that normal?
Well, here's the thing. You are very privileged to be accommodated by the toiletry industry, where you have a thing called douches. Guys don't have douches.
Yeah, there are hands.
So we can either walk around and not know what it smells like, or we can be sure that it smells bad.
Yes.
The irony is, it never smells good.
Sometimes it's okay.
2 minutes after a shower.
Your own musk?
While I'm in the shower.
I like my own musk. Same. I'm not ashamed of that.
No.
My balls smell great.
I got it to talcum. Now, that's a game changer.
Yeah, that is.
All right, last one. Sup, boys, especially Thick Cat.
Whoa.
This weekend, my law school had a Halloween party at a bar, and I ended up getting really fucked up and going home with a guy I go to school with. After we left the bar, we took an Uber back to his place, but right before we went inside, it was like he realized what was happening and told me I couldn't spend the night and basically preemptively rejected me and sent me home. I'm a little confused because I look super hot, and I know we are both sending off vibes the entire night. What do you think happened? Do you think he was too fucked up? He has a secret girlfriend, or am I actually just not as likable as I thought?
I think his mom was there.
Okay,
sounds like a parent situation.
Yeah, I was going to say, secret girlfriend, first of all, you are hot. Don't let anyone tell you you're not hot.
You're in law school. Your brain is
beautiful.
You're
hot. with that said, your breath might have stunk.
Okay.
It might have stunk. You might have had a couple IPAs. You might, like, your breath might have stunk. I'll just say that.
Follow-up question, what was she wearing as her Halloween outfit?
Yeah, but...
Were you problematic in some way?
But you know it. You know the breath stinking. It could change everything.
You can overlook that.
Nah. If it's really bad...
It can be overlooked.
Emily Ratajkowski walks in here with stinky-ass breath.
Yeah.
It hurts. It hurts.
And there's different levels to stink.
Yes. I'm talking about like diaper breath.
Diaper breath.
She's got diaper breath.
Listen.
You might have diaper breath. You might be, maybe your friends haven't told you, but you could have a case of diaper breath. Get that checked out.
Mm-hmm. Or
halitosis.
My theory is that this guy just has like a bunch of cats and weird animals. Yeah. And he was like, I'm not prepared to show you my collection of absurd animals that live in my house yet.
Yeah, he could have just not cleaned up and he's just an absolute slob.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
All right. That's our show. We will see everyone Friday. We have two-time champion right now. He's holding two belts right now, Daniel Cormier, UFC 230 this weekend. Really fun interview. Probably my favorite Stipe was good too. But he's an awesome guy, awesome interview. Get excited. That's coming Friday. We'll see you.
Love you guys.
Coming for your lover, take on me, take me on, I'll be gone in a day or two. It's no better to be safe than sorry. Take